Pod People.
Hello and welcome to What Fresh Hell Is This? On today's episode, we are going to be talking to my friend Scumbag Dad. That is right. We are having guests now. We are going to be talking about dental hygiene, poppers, A Christmas Carol, and God's sexual orientation, because that is the true meaning of Christmas or the holidays, whatever you celebrate. Fuck it. It's 2023.
Ugh, Christ. What fresh hell is this?
Hello and welcome to What Fresh Hell Is This with me, Stanzi Potenza. We took a little break there. Welcome to 2023 and welcome to season two of the podcast. I hope that all of you had a wonderful holiday, whatever it is you celebrate or don't. I had a great time. I went back home. I went back to Massachusetts, spent some time with my family, had a much needed break. It's been a while since I've had a real break, but it was great. I just sat at home with my my folks, brought my cat home. Oh, I haven't even told you guys about that. I got a new cat, a fancy, crazy cat. I took him home, and that was a little nerve-wracking for me because I've never brought an animal on a plane before. But oh my God, TSA loved him. I actually recommend bringing an animal with you next time you travel, because security treats you like a whole other like level of human. You're like balling out. Like they treat you so well. They treat you so nice. If you have a cute cat with you, cute animal. I didn't even like realize I had drugs in my purse, and like I got through totally fine. They just wanted to check out the cat. But I had a great holiday. I watched a lot of great movies. I haven't had a lot of time to like sit down and watch really good movies. I finally saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. Oh my God, I could talk about that forever. It was so good. And now I'm back in New York. And let me just say, I had the weirdest fucking day yesterday. My treadmill got hacked. Someone hacked into my treadmill. And this is the weirdest fucking thing. Someone hacked into my treadmill. I had no idea what was going on. I started hearing voices in my living room, and I thought maybe someone had connected to my Alexa like Bluetooth, but then I realized it was coming from the treadmill. So I walk over to the treadmill and I hear voices coming out of it, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then I get on the treadmill to like closer examine it, and then someone goes, I see her. And I was like, what the fuck? So I unplugged the treadmill. And I'm like Googling this, and I feel like a crazy person, like, cause I'm talking to like Amazon customer service. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like someone hacked into my, like my treadmill. Like I'm being viewed in my home, but I sound crazy and they're not helpful. So I hired a TaskRabbit to come and take my treadmill out of my home on Wednesday. What the fuck? That like ruined my day. Like it like threw me into a tizzy, and I couldn't get any work done because I was trying to figure out like what the fuck to do about my treadmill that's been hacked by someone. And all of this happened right after I saw that new movie Megan, which was fucking awesome. But that whole movie is basically about like AI and like how technology is getting so advanced, and eventually like robots are gonna take over the world. So that was fun. If I find out who it was that hacked into my treadmill, I'm gonna skin you alive and I'm gonna wear your flesh. As a joke, that's just me joking around. But don't do that. Don't be a scumbag. Speaking of scumbags, we're doing things a little bit differently in season two. We are going to start having guests on the podcast. It's not just gonna be me going through my like stream of consciousness anymore, right? So for my first guest, I would love to introduce to you my favorite and only one I know, orthodontist from Iowa. He was also in a band called Captain Dan and the Scurvy Crew, and they were on America's Got Talent. And he is taking the internet by storm with his satirical parody videos, and he is really just the king of comedy, I would say. Welcoming to What Fresh Hell Is This is Scumbag Dad Brad Podry. Brad, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I am super excited to ride your coattails to fame and to be your first guest on the podcast. This is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm stoked. I thought you would be like a great first guest just because of all my mutuals, I have a lot of mutuals that I'm very close with. But I've spent probably the most time with you just because of like the times that I've met you have been these kind of crazy trips that we've had.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you haven't been invited to Vegas from by a lot of these like sort of TikTok influencer types.
Yeah,
and so like that week alone was that week alone was like a friendship incubator. You know, I made
that's
that
exactly
joke,
what you said to me. Yeah,
and I believe that like spending 3 days in Vegas with me is like spending like 2 years with me, just sort of like trying to figure out if we're friends or not. And I think we both passed each other's tests perfectly. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I imagine it's not too unlike going to war with
yes.
someone, and then, you know, then you're bonded by the trauma. But in our case, we're just bonded by like all of the shenanigans we did on acid. So
yeah, it was, you know. I gotta say, it was a fantastic week, and I'm depressed because I'm trying to come up. You know what? I might have a better trip coming up, and I'll tell you about it. I don't know if I can leak it though, because
that's fine.
I'll say this, a major Vegas act, like a long-running Vegas act, has expressed interest in doing a collaboration.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to go any further than that because if the conversation peters out, we can just forget about this. But if I say it and it doesn't happen, then I look like a dick.
Yeah.
And it's not Chris Angel. I don't really... I saw Chris Angel, and that was a very sad... I did not love that show.
You know what? My friend Roger said the same thing to me. He said he also saw Chris Angel, and it was like...
Yeah, the emotional sort of like me and my buddy, we bought tickets sort of to be ironic, to be funny, like, oh my God, we're reading Chris Angel or whatever, because we got like some special like meet and greet time. And then we went from doing it ironically to like sort of like getting it, like the crowd was super enthusiastic. We're like, we might actually like the show. Then we watched the show and it was, in my opinion, it was not good. It was very bad. Like, and then in like the sort of self-aggrandizement, and man, Chris, you know, you're a sweet guy. Maybe you'll hear this one day. But like, he sort of, there's this one part where he's like, everybody get up, everybody get up. And he sort of forced his own standing ovation at the end. Like, that was it. He's like, oh my God, this show is about my childhood and about like a lot of these like super duper sort of corny concepts. And then he's like, and by the way, I'd like you all to invite you all to stand, get on your feet. And we're like, why is he making us get on our feet? Is this like a magic concept? And he's like, and now the show's over. And we're already on our feet, so we're clapping. And I'm looking at my buddy. I'm like, did he just sort of engineer his own standing ovation? And I think he took a selfie. And it sort of made me think, like, all of these like sold out shows and these like selfies he's been publishing for promotional material. They're actually these sort of weirdly engineered moments in the show.
That's so funny.
And I won't go into it in more detail, but let's just say that that is not who I will be collaborating with in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. Opening the show, talk trash on Chris Angel. Here we go.
Yeah, this was my plan all along. I'm just waiting for someone to bring up Chris Angel, and bam, episode one, we did it. We did it, you guys. We got him.
How's cat ownership treating you? Your cat looks cute.
He is so cute. I actually can't wait for you guys to meet him because he's super playful, playful like a dog, and got along super well with my mom's cats and stuff, which was funny because like here's this like young fancy cat kind of like coming into a house where all of those cats are kind of like trash cats that will like fight each other and stuff. And then like it's kind of like, you know, walking into a neighborhood as someone who's more like affluent and like not having any sense of like danger or like self-awareness. That's like what my cat did at my mom's house. But then they're like, I think he made them feel young again because he was playing with them. And it's like, you don't have to fear me. I'm just here to have a good time.
And he also has
a transatlantic accent, which I think is like really cool.
That's very cute. Probably picked it up from the family. Yeah.
But I think that something that is funny, and I don't mean this as like an insult at all, but like I think I would have to cap it at animals because after talking to you and Hannah about parenthood, like, I'm like, I don't think I can do that shit ever. Not because you guys are miserable or having a terrible time, but you're just honest about what it's like to be a parent. And no one has ever been that honest, I think, about what it's like before. And I was like, holy shit, that's so much
Yeah,
that's so much.
It's a whole brand new job. And I feel like people have different levels of speaking about parenthood with regards to, like, some people like, oh my God, it's the most stressful thing in the world. It's going to change your life. Then some people play it off like it's nothing. And I don't think, like, obviously everybody has their own experiences, but I mean, the baby is cute and he's adorable and you love him, and you love him just enough to make it a net quality of life profit, but it's just that much, you know what I mean? Yeah. like I love him and all, you know, but it is a second job, and to pretend like it's not is like super duper silly. But I would never want to give him up. I would never take back the decision to be a parent, because it is super cool at the end of the day. And you know, we're very fortunate because we are in a good position to, like, we've got plenty of family support. We can afford nannies. Like, I got to level with you. If we couldn't afford like a pretty consistent nanny, like, we would be losing our minds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I have the, as a human, like, the capacity to do that. I mean, who knows? Maybe one day.
I'm not going to lie to you and say, you got to have a kid. Join me. It's way more fun. You know what I mean? Like misery loves company.
You got to try this.
I'll never say that. It's just, I think I operate on the assumption that, you know, in the event that you did have a child, you probably would ostensibly have a partner to help out, you know,
yeah,
and like a corresponding support network, because that is super key. Like, when I hear about, like, single moms or people who come into my practice who are like, have multiple kids and they don't have like a lot of parental support, like, that, I can't imagine how difficult and stressful that is at home.
Yeah. So, shout out to my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look up like she's in heaven, but she's just in Boston. I'm looking up at Massachusetts.
Yeah. Welcome to the Stanzi Potenza Comedy Podcast and Parenting Advice Forum. Here we have Scumbag Dad, the man who built his legacy on becoming a evil father online.
But, you know, you were the evil father persona, and then you became like someone that a lot of people are like, wow, I love watching him with his actual child. This is actually very wholesome. Although it is also funny. Like, you make the content that you have with Zev is just so funny. Both you and Hannah. I wanted to ask, I know that you got your start. Obviously, you got your start on TikTok with Scumbag Dad. And before that, you were also, you had the pirate rap band, Captain Dan and the Scurvy Crew. What was for you, like, was there a moment in your life where you were kind of like, I'm really interested in like the arts, or, you know, like, you know, comedy or acting, or, you know, just writing, production stuff? Like, was there a moment in your life where you felt like really passionate about this?
Well, I mean, when I was 15 years old, I wanted to be Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. Like, I was a very serious musician. I was like, I love this guy's music. He's got such a cool look. Oh, my God. And I remember seeing like a music video and being like, oh, it's dirty and it's grungy and it's evil, and I want to be just like that. And so like it happened really young. And me and my buddy Dan, we wrote an album on like a tape 4-track that we like burned to CDs and sold in the local CD shop. Like, it was a passion basically since I was very, very young, but I never got any traction on it until I was in my 40s. You know, Captain Dan and the Scurvy Crew was the most famous pirate rap group in the world. You know, we were number one for goofy for pirate rap gimmicks. Yeah. We were a top attraction at least 2 Renaissance festivals. Okay.
Nice.
So let me tell you. And then when America's Got Talent invited us on, I thought it was a spam email. I thought it was a lie. I'm like, there's no way America's Got Talent would invite a pirate rap group on. And then they invited us on, then they kicked us off. And that was the start of my villain origin story, because I was like getting ready to sort of take the path to becoming a doctor. At the time, I was more of a musician character, and I never really viewed like, I'm funny, but I never viewed myself as like a comedian until TikTok started to take off. At first, I used TikTok just to plug my music videos, but then I went viral on a watch video and I was like, oh, I can actually get hits here. So then I turned to, like, I made a bunch of anime gags, pandemic hit. I did a bunch of skits. I put an egg on my wife's head.
Yeah.
And that went nuclear. And then I, you know, one day Hannah was talking about how much she loved your Korean dad, who was like the very wholesome Korean dad who was like, hey, I'm your Korean dad. Let's go eat grapes. You know, doing very kind things to the camera person, or ostensibly the audience. And I was like, you know, we were out partying and I'm like, it'd be funnier if he was evil. What if he just abandons the kid or like gets drunk and like goes on a date and like doesn't feed the kid right. And sort of the plot sort of got out of control after a while. And it was the bridge from sort of my old self to my, I guess, newer self. Like I grew the mustache and then Scumbag Dad was born. And now I've got this mullet thing. So I look way different than I did 2 years ago. And short answer to your question is I really like Nine Inch Nails as a teenager.
That's so funny because I had also like it started more music based for me also. Mm. And then it turned into like comedy. I was always interested in comedy, but I started in the theater, but I was getting a lot of like classical voice training to like sing more like operatic stuff. But like, and I had a lot of like family members or just like people in my life being like, oh yeah, you should go the music route. But I just felt so strongly about like being funny that was like the route that I chose to go down. So it was just interesting that we both had like this music sort of origin that ended up having us become like insane comedy people online.
You're really good at it. You know, I gotta say, like your skits, even from the beginning, I'm like, I remember looking at Hannah and be like, this girl, I think we first sort of got traction, started to notice you when you like, you blew up on a couple of skits and I think you ordered like a piece of merchandise from Hannah. Like we became mutuals and then you ordered a piece of merch and like, I was like, this girl is going to go, she's going to go crazy. Like such consistency in like the writing and the delivery and the editing. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to sink our hooks in deep. And we're gonna somehow ride her coattails to whatever bigger thing she's going on. So I personally think I honestly think it's working out great. I feel like Hannah and I have been very lucky to meet you and Melissa and like the entire crew out there is fantastic. Like all the people we worked with to make Angel Shot and stuff. Like that's how I'd want to live the rest of my life if you know if I wasn't still an orthodontist. You know, if things happen to sort of pan out that way.
Yeah, I think that. But, you know, I feel like you have just been growing so much and like you're really good at pivoting and coming up with like this episode is basically just like just Brad and I like jerking each other off.
Yeah, yeah. Should we make jokes? Should we change the subject? Stonzy, you're amazing. Brad, you're amazing. You've been going so viral. Yeah. Oh, my God. Our friendship is so amazing.
Yeah, you've been going viral, too. I'm almost there.
I'm almost there. Keep going. Keep complimenting me. This episode's for a very specific set of fetishists who can only come when true friends are having an honest conversation. You know, like, oh my God.
I only come to the power of friendship.
Yeah, that's right.
We will be right back. Hey, you know what's so cool is hair care, because some of us have it. I certainly do. And they say that hair care is the new skin care. But there's one brand that has taken it to the next level. With a cult-like following, Kitsch has created game-changing essentials beauty enthusiasts swear by. And as the beauty enthusiast, I support them. From satin pillowcases to time-saving towels, Kitsch knows hair care doesn't stop in the shower. Listen, you have hair. And you care about it. You have hair care needs. So why go to CVS when we could help each other out, right? Kitsch is offering 30% off your entire order at mykitsch.com/stonzy. That's right, 30% off everything at mykitsch, KITSCH.com/stonzy. One more time, mykitsch.com/stonzy for 30% off your order. I love these little moments that we get to share with each other. Oh, thank you. So you are still an orthodontist right now, correct?
I am. Yeah, I'm an orthodontist now because I do love my profession very much. I've been practicing for more than 10 years. I love throwing random, completely straight dental knowledge at the audience, because I feel like it gives the new followers giant, gigantic amounts of whiplash
when they
get into like the meat of my content. So they might follow. They'll be like, oh, well, this guy's talking about braces. He seems pretty cool. And like the next video is like Synthrat, or the next video is just like some gun joke. And they're like, what the hell is going on? And I realized I could have bentisted my way like to followers, like just do tooth stuff, but I didn't really want to. And so now, like, since I had a kid, I reduced my amount of days working so I could spend more time at home with the kid, but also so I could spend more time doing creative pursuits. So right now I'm working about 9 days a month, which is fine. And I don't think I would ever truly leave it unless something extremely lucrative came up. Like Dan and I write a song and it's a number one hit, or you and I make a movie that like absolutely takes off. And then, you know, you and I will be too busy like on a yacht somewhere arguing about royalties for me to like get into the office. Like a true success.
I can't do the tooth. This person's like dentist appointment right now.
Yeah.
I'm killing my coworker right now because she doesn't want to give me the amount of royalties I want.
I'm too busy suing Stanzi. This lawsuit's going to take it all out of me. So I'm still practicing. I do like it. I get recognized by a lot of new patients at this point. To the best of my knowledge, it hasn't hurt the practice, but you know, I definitely no longer look like I used to be, such a clean cut, you know, like I'm way different in the office than I am in sort of normal social life. And the breakdown on that's actually interesting, because now I feel like my audience knows that, and my patients know who I am like outside. You know, they know that I'm much louder and like crazier. And a couple parents even commented, they're like, you are way different on the internet. Because in the office,
I'm like, do this.
I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm not going to roll into your kid's dentist room. I'm like, hey, see your scumbag dad. You want to buy some special sugar? I've got a bullet for you. You know what I mean? It doesn't play.
Here are all my lines.
So a couple of them take pictures with me, and I like it.
That's so funny.
But at the same time, like, there is a big, you know, there's a duality there that I've sort of lived with for a long time. And, you know, I'm at a good spot. I guess that answers the question. I'm still practicing orthodontist. If you have dental questions, I'm happy to answer them. And if I start doing too much dental content, then that means that I've gotten hit with too many guidelines violations, and now I need to be a normal person for a while.
Yeah. Your thing is obviously like a lucrative career. So it's to let that go completely. And obviously you've put a lot of time and like you've committed a lot to learning about this, going to school for it. But I really truly believe, after spending enough time with you and talking to you and watching your content, that you can get to that point where, you know, you can go beyond the social media. You can make it into the bigger entertainment industry, and I could see so much of your stuff being so successful on like a sketch show, you know?
I'm constantly trying to break out. Once every 6 months or 8 months, I always try to do like a big thing.
Yeah.
In the attempt to sort of transcend the spheres. And every time it fails. but at least I try. You know,
but you
Angel
try.
Shot. Yeah. Angel Shot Origins was like the example of like the one I did last year.
Or can you remind the worsties what Angel Shot Origin story was?
Angel Shot was, it was basically an elaborate excuse to fire a tank in the desert. I wanted to fire a tank and I didn't want to pay for it. So Insta360, I managed to sort of get in good with them last year through the Scumbag Dad series, and they agreed to fund a short film. And this short film was going to be an action film. And this film basically was a riff on like a trend on TikTok called the Angel Shot, where a woman will order an angel shot when they feel nervous at a bar, and then the bartender will eliminate the person that's making them feel nervous. And so this was an elaborate plot around that, which was a very hokey action series to be filmed with their cameras that culminated in a tank being shot. So they paid us the money. I had visions that it was going to go super duper nuclear, but it was almost impossible for me to plug on TikTok because it was so violent. Even though we used toy guns, we just had a lot of stunts. I mean, we had the fortune of working with a woman who did like legitimate motorcycle stunts. Like, she would stand on the motorcycle, make it spark and stuff. We fired random weapons. We had a fight scene where I get a bottle, you know, fake bottle, but a bottle smashed over my head. You know, it was as good as we could make it in like 3 days with almost no prep. Like, Melissa was supposed to be part of that, and she got COVID like that week. So I had to completely reinvent the script in like a night to sort of accommodate for like losing one of our leads. And I think what we came out with was amazing, but it's still like, it didn't get as many hits as I thought, but that's not going to stop me from trying again. Earlier last year, I did something called Wild Hits, which was almost similar, which I self-funded. I brought all my friends to Vegas, and I wanted to do a hit on David Dobrik, like a parody on him. And so that one was like a bunch of vloggers, you know, like, hey, we're all a bunch of fun people on camera. Let's pull pranks. And it turns out like they do a fun little prank. They pay a girl $100 to put lime juice in her eye, and then they go to murder three people brutally. And so like that was my first attempt at like doing a higher budget production. And so this year I want to do Ebenezer Scrooge Ghost Slayer, which is about Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Story, essentially as the villain in a kung fu epic where he attacks the ghosts of past, present, and future for revenge for ruining his Christmas like many, many years ago. I don't know if it'll succeed, but if it does, it opens up the path to the War on Christmas, the saga. Nobody's ever done a true action Christmas movie, specifically a kung fu Christmas movie. So
yes, yeah. Well,
better?
You know, did you see Violent Night?
I didn't.
Okay, so that's like, that was actually like an action Christmas movie that came out this year where it was like Santa is like, he gets into this like violent fight because he's trying to save this like little girl like on his way to deliver presents, like who the family gets taken hostage. And so he's like, you know, like he has to like fight people. It's with David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Oh, so it's probably excellent.
So it was good. It was good. And they made a Grinch horror movie where he dies because his heart grows too big.
That is funny.
Which is funny. But I think but that's not to discourage you from this idea, because I think that the Christmas parody and like the turning it to be kind of like evil and cynical, it's successful. So I think that, and your idea is obviously different. It's like a different, the only Christmas Carol-y type movie that was released recently was called Spirited. And it was just a retelling of A Christmas Carol with Ryan Reynolds, but it wasn't like, that was like a wholesome, like family movie, but like the Scrooge thing being like, him being some sort of like villain that's like gonna fight all the spirits is like so funny. Yeah, and having him interact with like other Christmas stories, you know, like he like, you know, skins Rudolph and like turns him into like a blanket or something, like shit like
it's
that
endless.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it's endless. Just it could be a rampage. So we're gonna look into that this year. I want a little bit more snow on the ground, but
I'm surprised I haven't seen like any snow, which is really weird because I went back home to Massachusetts. There was no snow there. Haven't seen any snow in New York, but I'm probably not going to see snow for a while because I'll be in LA next month.
If you move
month,
to LA,
so.
You're never going to see snow again, which is fine. You're not going to miss it.
I'm not going to miss it. It's like, yeah. It's a miserable thing. When I was in Massachusetts, it was so cold that my like tears were freezing on my face. Like I would yawn and then like the tears would freeze. So I was like,
why
I'm not
do that
gonna
to yourself? Don't do that to yourself,
I was like,
anymore.
This was a great conversation. I think this is a good time to have one final question. And this I think is going to really tie back into the theme of the show, which is hell and just, you know, general chaos. My question for you, it's actually based off of a game that my sisters and I used to play as a kid. We would stand in front of a door and we would have one of us be the bouncer and we would line up like we were trying to get into a club, and we all had to pitch to the bouncer like why they should let us in. And the bouncer could be like no, or they would be like yeah, whatever, you can get inside. So that was like this game that we played as kids. So this is a similar question, but we're gonna make it on theme, right? So when you pass from this mortal coil and find yourself at the pearly gates, how are you going to convince God to let you into heaven?
Okay, so I would say God, I think you should let me in because I have been able to resist the most tempting of temptations as a dental professional, which is not getting high on my own supply. I have nitrous flowing through the walls of my office each and every day, and I have never touched it inside of those walls during work hours or after work hours. And I'm not going to disparage my own profession, but I will say I once visited a dentist friend of mine in his office after hours, and he was just hooked up to his own machine. The cleaning lady was just sweeping around him. And I said, are you really doing this? This is what people think we do. You can't be doing this in real life, and you can't be letting the cleaning staff see you. And he's like, I don't give a shit. And God would probably say, it's not that tough to not do nitrous at work, Brad. And I could say, well, you don't know how well I titrate that nitrous, because just getting it to that oxygen level where your brain cells are dying just a little bit, but not enough to give you a motor impairment, that's where I can put you. And I never did that to myself once. So I'm not sure if that gets me into heaven, but it damn well should, because it's easy to, like, if a woman makes a pass at me at a bar, like, what, it's easy to resist that. That just happens, you know, once, and then the bar night is over. But 8 hours a day, I know that I could just turn that crank, and then all of a sudden I'm not worried about anything. So yeah, I'm not sure if that's the most pious answer in the world, but that's the one I sort of knee-jerk came up with.
Damn. Wow.
What's yours?
What's mine? I think I would tell God to look at his laptop, because I downloaded some like highly incriminating something I shouldn't really say on this podcast, but I'm like, yeah, if the feds find out you got this
if
on your computer,
the feds find God, they're gonna raid heaven.
They're like, yeah, if they find this on your computer, you're donezo.
And God's like, oh shit, did she really get into my
computer?
Getting
Peter, life.
Peter, what's the Wi-Fi password?
Gabriel.
Oh God.
Ezekiel, has anyone?
I mean,
who let the gates open?
There's a lot of answers to that question. I could also be like, yo, God, if you don't let me in, you know, like, you're gay. And he'd be like, whoa, you
I'm not gay. Like, everyone knows I'm not gay, you guys.
He's looking
you guys,
around.
You
like,
guys, I literally... Yeah. I fuck all the time. Women.
Totally. I'm totally not gay. And then, like, so, Gabriel's looking at him like, oh, well, he better let him in, or else, you know, you heard what he said.
Yeah. Ezekiel's like, I don't know. Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm fucking sure. I'm not gay. And it's like, why are you getting so defensive? They go, whatever. Just God's, get in.
God's stuttering. So basically, we'd be treating this entry into heaven like it's a Reddit comment section.
Yeah. You came up with like a surprisingly kind of like, I don't know, like
a real answer.
Real answer. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, in that moment when you asked me, I was like, what? Like, I'm not saying I love nitrous, but I'm just saying that it's so easily, like, it's just there. It's just in the office, flowing. Nobody's monitoring, like, the amount that we've got.
Well, I feel like you also have access to better drugs. Not as a doctor, just as a person.
Oh, no. As a person, I have access to whatever I want.
Yeah, I was like, you can, I don't think I've ever actually had that in any sort of dental experience. So I don't really like know.
In dental school, we have nitrous day, which is always a fun day. The first person you nitrous up is a classmate. And the first person you numb up is a classmate. So you partner up and you just nitrous each other up. And everybody makes the same joke that we just like are getting each other high all day. And that's fair play. You know, it's a fun day.
Isn't it similar kind of like to like poppers?
Yeah, I would say it's extremely similar to a popper. If I had ever had a popper, I would. Yes, it's similar to poppers.
Yeah. I mean, my audience knows. They know about all the. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so used to being super duper professional in certain scenarios, and like the crack is sort of leaking. You know, that I party and I like go to Vegas a lot and stuff like that. Like ever since I started getting recognized, you know, there will be an eventual breakdown where like I don't really hold myself back anymore. Cause there's always that twinge in my head. Like, you're still a doctor, Brad.
Oh yeah. You can hold yourself back. Mm. I personally like to my audience, they know about all the shenanigans that I do. So you can hold back as much as you want. I'm not a doctor, so I can, you know, but I actually never had the nitrous, because all my dentist experiences have been more of just like, just let us know if this hurts real bad. And I'm like, okay. Like when I got my wisdom teeth out, I didn't have anything. I was like,
wow.
They gave a little local anesthesia and then they were just kind of like, rip. I know that's just like how I roll. Like, I'm like just very hardcore.
Oh yeah, yeah. You fucking built different. You don't need any Novocaine.
Yeah, because it's because I'm from Boston and I can take the pain.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
you
Brad,
are.
this was so fun. I'm so glad that you came on the show and you were a great first guest to have on.
Excellent.
And I'm obviously wishing you the best of luck in your career endeavors, and I think that just sky's the limit for you, you know.
Yeah, let's just jerk each other off for another 30 seconds till this ends. I think sky's the limits for you, Stonzy.
This is the climax.
Yeah, I see great things. Yeah, all the people who haven't come yet, just kind of get that tissue out, because here we go. Like, I just think Stonzy's so amazing, and I'm so glad to have her as a friend, even if we never make content again. I'm so lucky to have met you.
Anyone have a cigarette?
All right, cool.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, good. Good day. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Thank you so much to Brad for being my first guest. And if you want to see more of Brad, you can follow him on all social media platforms. He is at ScumbagDad on YouTube, at The Scumbag Dad on TikTok, and Scumbag Dad Official on Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you like this new format that we're doing for season two. Obviously, we still get some time with just me and you right at the beginning, right? But then we get a little bit more action in the middle there, all right? That being said, enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next time.